Welcome to the milk bar. 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 Welcome to the milk bar.
Welcome along to episode 458 of the Milk Bar. Jason Forrest here with you as ever. And coming up on the show this week, it's pretty much a theatrical special. We'll be hearing from West Bromwich Operatic Society all about Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, which is coming to the Grand very soon from them. Also at the Grand, we're talking about Turn of the Screw. That's on the way in a bit. We'll be catching up with Claire Sweeney, so you could have a bit of a chat with her all about her appearance in Crazy for You. And we'll be finding out about the brilliant Carpenters tribute show we've only just begun that's on its way to the Grand very soon. But first of all, let's pop back to more from Crazy for You and a little bit of a chat with Tom Chambers.
From the 8th to the 12th of May, Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre plays host to Crazy for You, one of the stars of the show, Tom Chambers. Hello!
Hello!
So, you're known for your dancing, yeah, particularly since you've done Strictly, but you were dancing around plenty before that. Your little biog lists you as being in Holby City and Casualty, and you don't have to die in the first 10 minutes of the episode. It must be great fun doing this lots on the road.
Do you know, when you're talking about dancing, I mean, I used to stamp on the kitchen floor before I knew what tap dancing was. Yeah. I mean, that was like... And then I saw those Matinee Idol films of Fred Astaire and Gene Kelly, and just always loved the idea of like balance and the tipping point and being... I mean, it's like playing the drums with your feet when you're doing tap dancing, which is kind of what this has. But I could not get into any musical at all after I graduated from drama school. And it was only thanks to Strictly that I'm actually here, 100%. There's no way.
You don't do that much tap in Strictly, though, do you, as it were? So is it something of a shock to the system when you do come into something like this?
It was more that when you audition for musicals that, you know, you have to go through the dance round, and therefore when you do something like Strictly, the producers go, it's okay, we've seen that you can dance. You don't need to do the dance bit of the audition, you just have to prove that you can also
make sure audition's faster.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, I'm sure it's just a time saver.
But with that, and I mean, you've been living in the West End quite a lot of late as well, so it this is certainly very much your thing, though, isn't it?
I mean, yeah, as in, I've been lucky that Fred Astaire's been an idol, and then when Top Hat came along, that was literally like the job of a lifetime to be able to do that. And we did that on tour first. We did like 500 performances in total, because we did a year on tour and then a year in town. Mm-hmm. And that is amazing, to be in like the smoke, as it were. You know, the West End is like the capital of the entertainment industry. And yet, at the same time, you do a show like this with Crazy for You, and you get to see so many parts of the country that... You'd never go there normally, and just to get the feel of the cultures, or the, you know, the architecture, or the non-architect. Sadly, in some places you visit, been heavily bombed during the war, and so it's just fascinating. Being on the road is absolutely, it's an eye opener.
So you actually take the time to actually go out and have a little look around when you're there.
I mean, we don't get too much time, because we do an extra matinees. We have Sunday and Monday off. Therefore, that means you travel on a Tuesday, and then you do four shows in 2 days on the Wednesday and the Thursday. Then Friday, you're quite often doing press. But Friday is your day where you get to, you know, have a bit of a look around and have a walk in the fresh air. But I mean, just even getting to the theatre, to and from, and all the people who work in the theatre, you know, you get that colloquial sense of, you know, who are the staff, because they obviously live in each venue that you go to, so you get a feel for it.
And you throw yourself into the 1930s thing. I know you have Brill Cream here somewhere. So.
Yeah, a bit of Brill Cream there, because my character has to change hairstyles about 7 or 8 times in the show, so you need to be able to... You can't have hairspray, because it's too locked in. It's too, you know, or anything too fixing. So you have to be... The quick changes happen in about 30 seconds. So you've got to really...
And do your hair at the same time.
So it's Velcro, and then, yeah, facial hair, and then do your hair at the same time. So it's super quick.
It is a demanding show, though, isn't it, this one?
This one is perhaps the most physically demanding I've ever experienced. I mean, I saw it in the 90s when it came out, because a lot of people don't know about Crazy for You, that it was actually written in the 90s, even though it's set in the golden Hollywood era of, you know, 30s, 50s. It means Gershwin, best sort of musical composition to dance to. And they're all great sounds. It's because they've got jazzy, bluesy, and you know, cause the biggest thing is the fact that the cast are playing the music live on stage, having someone playing the violin and the trombone. You can't believe that the notes are clean when they're doing pirouettes and jumping and leaping. Still don't really know how they do it.
Well, Claire's already said that she feels quite guilty of the fact that she's not playing an instrument. What are you doing?
I thought Claire played the maracas. Maybe that's been cut. I actually pick up the trumpet only for a few bars, play the drums tiny bit sort of thing, kicking them really with tap shoes on, and then also the double bass, tiny, tiny bit, so minute.
You get involved though.
It's because I'm doing most of the singing and the talking, yeah. So the music's going on around. But yeah, mm.
They let you off on those grounds.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
They're working you hard anyway, which is what counts.
Yeah.
So, favourite number in the show for you on this one?
Well, I think I've Got Rhythm is certainly the crowd pleaser, but there are the lovely moments where there's a bit of more heartfelt. You know, They Can't Take That Away From Me is such a lovely song, and then also the Embraceable You and Someone to Watch Over There, Charlotte's. So I'm not speaking of everyone else's, but I mean, Slap That Bass is always. I used to sing these songs at school, mm-hmm. You know, just for fun. So this one was when I was saying about seeing it in the 90s with Ruthie Henschel. I did think then, if there's one job I get, please let it be Bobby and Crazy For You.
And this is it, and it is on tour. Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 8th to the 12th of May. 01902 42921 to the box office number or grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets online. But Tom Chambers, thank you and have a brilliant time on the road.
Thank you very much.
Why do birds suddenly appear? Every time you are near, just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by, just like me? The day that you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair, golden starlight in your eyes so blue. That is why all the girls in town follow you. Like me, they long to be close to you.
On Sunday the 27th of May, we've only just begun, is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. Tony Lee is recreating the astonishing voice of Karen Carpenter, and she joins me on the line now to have a bit of a chat. Hello.
Hello, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, not bad, not bad.
You get to be on stage and sing some utterly fantastic songs, don't you?
I do, the music of the Carpenters, and obviously bringing on stage the voice of Karen Carpenter, a truly audio and visual experience, hopefully, for them.
Yeah, well, but there was nothing like the Carpenters till the Carpenters turned up, I don't think. The vocal harmonies of that brother and sister duo were just phenomenal. And it's a music that lives on, obviously, since the sad passing of Karen. But, you know, it just brings that whole time to life.
No one's ever done it as good as the Carpenters. They don't make music like that anymore, do they?
No, they don't, which is strange, because you'd have thought there'd be a home for something like that. But it does at least mean someone like yourself going out and bringing this to the stage means it is a truly unique act on the circuit.
Yes, it is totally unique. They still have a very, very huge fan base out there. The Carpenters lives on. And I've even noticed in the audience, the audience are getting younger and younger. There's even children in there, because obviously you've got the grandparents listening, the parents, the aunts and uncles, and of course they're playing the music, and of course all the youngsters are hearing it as well. And it's still ever popular as it was back then.
So how do you select the songs that you're going to do when you're out on tour for something like this?
Well, obviously, people generally want to hear, the greatest hits, because a lot of people have grown up listening to those. As you know, and many Carpenters fans know, there's the library of the Carpenters songs is really extensive. There's loads of album songs as well, but we tend to stick to the popular ones that everyone can recognise, can sing along to, and there's always one there that takes them way back to, you know, a special time in their life, be it a, you know, wedding anniversary, a memory with the mother. It's just has lots of memories. And for me, the song Close to You kind of takes me way back to when I was a little girl. That's when I started listening to the Carpenters. So, yeah, it's very nostalgic.
And when you're listening to something like We've Only Just Begun or Yesterday Once More, it is so much more than just about the voice. I'm not belittling your voice here, but it is more than that, with the big band sound that goes with it as well.
Yeah, totally. I mean, to recreate the music of the Carpenters, obviously, you've got to have a good band. It's got to be done right. And knowing what I know of the Carpenters, they were very fastidious, and they wanted to recreate the studio sound when they were even touring. And that's what we try to do our best, you know, because people, you know, want to sit there. They want to hear the songs as they were, because they were that special. You don't want to change them or put your own twist on them. So we do try our best to replicate the original sound. And the band I've got, I think they really do, they're on the money. They really are good.
But you've got over 2 hours of music, every song in the show a chart hit, 22 hits in this show. And that must really drive your audiences wild. And I say that it's the nostalgia, but also it's the excitement of such good music. And I bet they're dancing before the night's out.
It's funny, because the show's actually also like a celebration of all their love songs. They're very known for their ballads, and we kind of, you know, keep the lively ones. We put them in specific places, because the show would be very slow, and we kind of, you know, Bung the World, Fast and at the Top of the World, Jambalaya, Mr. Postman. So they get a nice little mixture, but you can always feel the anticipation. They're sitting there waiting for Mr. Postman or Top of the World, and they certainly do kind of tap their feet and clap, and they do occasionally dance in the aisles as well to those songs, because they're just such good feel songs as well.
And all of this is around a musical career where you're producing your own songs as well.
Yeah, well, me personally, I've actually had on my bucket list has been to record an original song, because obviously all my whole career has been doing covers, be it different artists, and obviously everybody loves one of the Karen Carpenter songs, and it's so nice to be able to record something as me, and it's got a lovely story behind it. It was actually an unreleased Carpenter's song that Richard got hold of, and I contacted the songwriter. It never got released, because obviously, sadly, Karen passed away. And it was just kind of archived, and I came across it, fell in love with the song, and I've kind of done it as me, not as Karen. I wanted to sing a song as me, and people can obviously perceive it how they wish, and that song is out to be released as well. So that's a nice little twist sort of on my career, but I'm looking forward to that as well. But with the story background behind the song, it's quite intriguing for the fans out there to hear an unreleased Carpenters song, obviously covered by, myself. So, yeah, it's all exciting. That's a new thing for me. But, I can't wait to get out there and bring all the Carpenters music alive again on stage for to the fan base out there. Well, can't wait.
Just going to be absolutely fantastic. It is the 27th of May. It's a Sunday night. What better night to do it on there? Just have a great time. And that will be the bank holiday weekend as well, won't it? So you, it's going to be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, I believe so. People are often wondering, what are we going to do on a Sunday night? So now they know what they can do. They can head on down to the Grand Theatre in Wolverhampton. So we've been there before, actually, and we sold it out. It was a phenomenal crowd. And I often get messages on the Facebook page, when are you coming back? So we're really looking forward to coming back again.
Well, it is, as we say, Sunday the 27th of May. 7:30 is the curtain up. £14.50 through £26.50 for your tickets. Grandtheatre.co.uk to grab those online, or 01902 429212, the box office number. But Tony Lee, thank you for joining us, and we're very much looking forward to hearing the brilliant music of the Carpenters, their greatest love songs with We've Only Just Begun at Wolverhampton's Grand on the 27th of May.
Yay, thank you very much.
I've been so many places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs, I've made some bad rhyme. I've acted out my love in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now and I'm singing this song for you. I know your image of me is what I'd hope to be. I've treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Darling, can't you please see through me? 'Cause we're alone now and I'm singing this song for you. You taught me precious secrets of the truth, withholding nothing. You came out in front and I was hiding. But now I'm so much better, and if my words don't come together, listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in the no space or time. I love you for my life. You are a friend of mine. And when my life is over, remember when we were together. We were alone and I was singing this song. Thank you.
When The Turn of the Screw arrives at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 10th through to the 14th of April, there's going to be mystery, peril and a fantastic story on stage. To tell us all about his part of that, I'm joined now on the line by Michael Henratty. Hello.
Hello there. How are we?
I'm good. I trust we find you well.
Yeah, in Leeds at the moment. Just had a matinee and about to get ready for the evening show.
And it must take it out of you doing this sort of thing twice in a day, because it's a big psychological thriller, so you are really pushing yourselves to the limit as you do this.
Yeah, and it's quite emotionally draining and physically draining, and because I multi-role in the show, so I've got a few different characters I'm playing and quite a few very, very fast, quick changes. And the stage here in Leeds is pretty big, so I'm sprinting around backstage, shedding clothes and putting on another costume and another personality at the same time.
Well, you never want to shy away from changing your appearance as well in the roles that you've taken.
Yeah, exactly. I'm playing very different characters, so everything needs to change. It really needs to show the audience that a different person is coming on stage.
With all of what's happening, how do your characters fit into it? Because spread over the number of years that the story's told over, jumping backwards and forwards in time, do you have specific people you are in each of those time periods?
Yeah, luckily I don't, the characters I play don't change in the time periods, but they do vary in age quite a lot. You know, I go from the uncle of the children to playing one of the children, so and then another character, which I shouldn't say who he is because that's a bit of a twist. But yeah, I'm changing from a grown adult to a young boy to an adult. And so you've really got to work to show those changes.
And what's it like dropping yourself into a very different time? Because we've all got different ways of working away around our lives these days. But I mean,
yeah.
you enjoy yourself playing on Twitter and whatever else and sharing things that way. Obviously, nothing like that back in the day. And it's interesting the way people's personalities are limited by that in different times.
Yeah, that's very true. And a lot of that comes through in the dialogue and the way that the characters express themselves. And I mean, a lot of that is just helped by the costumes, the clothes I'm wearing, because as soon as you put on a sort of elaborate waistcoat and a frock coat and have your hair in a certain way, it completely changes the way you feel and the way you move. So a lot of that helps. Yeah, it's all the etiquette of the time and the way they express themselves is very different.
Do you think that when you're looking at a play that is written from a story so old, it's actually probably the beginning of a genre, isn't it, very much? I mean, with what the writers and the adapters have done with this, they have got some very original material that's been told in different ways, in different mediums, inspired many different things. And is it something that you're coming back to, or is this a first time telling this story for you?
First time telling this story for me. I mean, I've been aware of this story for a long time, and Tim Luscombe, the adapter, has brought something very different to this adaptation with the time jumps, so it does shift, and there's a sort of an elaboration of one of the characters that is compelling the governess to revisit these memories, and it's much more about exploring what happened, how it happened, and why it happened. Whereas the original, I mean, it's such an ambiguous mystery that It's a really interesting twist on the story that it's someone really trying to get to the bottom of what happened in the story. I mean, when I was doing research for the play, there are countless essays and books and everything about the ambiguity and what really the play, the novel is about, everything from sort of Freudian sexuality to genuine ghost stories and everything in between.
So all of this going on around a fantastic set as well. And how do you think the set fares? Because it has to be a character in this to help tell that story.
Yeah, definitely. And the set, the designer has done such a brilliant job on this one, and it really evokes the sort of idea of a fractured mind, but also, the time periods. And we've been lucky enough to have some really beautiful props and pieces of set on this that really help tell the story, definitely.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be an absolute treat. And were you genuinely scared the first time you acted out some of these scenes?
There was a few times when we were working with the sound design that I didn't know there was a big bang coming, and I'm supposed to be one of the scary people, and you can't really have one of the scary people getting scared by their own appearance. So, that did happen a couple of times, but now it's just quite fun. No, it's like, you know, when you know a magic trick, but no one else does. So I'm, you know, being on stage and seeing the audience and jump and scream is a real treat.
It sounds like it's going to be absolutely amazing. It is on at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre from the 10th through to the 14th of April. 01902 429212, the box office number, grandtheatre.co.uk to get your tickets. But for now, Michael Henratty, thank you for joining us and have a wonderful time scaring the audiences
thank
in Wolverhampton.
Thank you. Lovely speaking to you.
Serious glamour on stage when West Bromwich Operatic Society bring Priscilla, Queen of the Desert, to the Wolverhampton Grand Theatre from the 24th to the 28th of April. And I have three of the cast. I'm not entirely sure how to build this. It's going to be who's most glamorous out of this bunch here, but we'll work that out as we go along. We have Zach, Sophie and Ty. Hello!
Hi!
So we'll start down here. Zach, first of all, tell us who you're playing.
I play Felicia, who, in answer to your question, probably is the most glamorous.
Okay.
The show,
especially
compared to these pair. I'm kind of the annoying, irritating character, so I don't know why they cast me.
How did that happen?
I've no idea. I mean,
so that's going to work out well, I think.
I think so. I don't really have to do much acting.
But you can do a bit of sass, so you'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that'll be good. So who are you playing?
I'm playing Cynthia, and she is the Asian wife of one of the characters in the show called Bob.
Yeah.
Cynthia has a suppressed talent since marriage, and she's been very keen to perform. So when the drag queens arrive in town, she's quite desperate to get up and do her special act.
That's probably about all we can say of the family audience. However...
Yeah, it does involve ping pong balls, so get your tickets and you'll see.
Okay, and if you're on the front row, prepare to get a ping pong ball, to be honest, but there we are.
Yeah, bring a flash wipe.
Okay, Ty, who are you being?
Hello. I'm playing Tick.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a bit about Tick, because it centres around Tick, so you get to be the centre of attention.
Tick, he's a funny character because he's not the flashy one, he's not the flashy one at all, and I think that's his thing, do you know what I mean? He's very, I think he's quite repressed in himself, and not that he's struggling to deal with who he is, but I think he's the one that is still very aware of those issues, do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And like you say, the story centres around the three of us, but it's there because obviously I need to meet my child.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's
It's a good story, though, and if you've not seen the film, you're missing out on some fantastic tunes, because that is another thing this is all about. It's about some brilliant music as you make your way through the story. Have we got favourite songs?
This is
a tricky one.
We've got ones that we're a bit, I don't want to say fed up of, but because we're doing them so much, like through rehearsals and stuff, it's kind of like you think you know this song and you've heard it, so like, for instance, I Will Survive, for instance, disco classic, definitely, and you've heard it that many times, so it has become a favourite, but at the same time it's probably become my least favourite over the whole.
I think the finale is really great. And we set the finale yesterday because it's like an amalgamation of all the big numbers
medley,
in the show, and big
medley.
So that was really fun setting that yesterday.
Personal favourite for me is True Colours because it's, you know.
Yeah, the soft moments in the show as well. Yeah. And then you've got the big all singing, all dancing, ridiculous costume numbers too. what else? Raining Men, Hot Stuff, MacArthur Park.
Venus.
I Will Survive, like you said. Oh, yeah, Venus. Yeah. That's one of my numbers.
Yeah, so you're going to be rocking that one.
Absolutely, yeah.
But I mean, it is a show with both a serious story, some touching moments, and some characters you absolutely have to nail. It is not fluff, is it? This, it is proper serious, good fun, musical madness.
Yeah,
definitely. I think it's about in my head, the three characters, which are the centrepiece of the musical, which is Bernadette, Felicia and Tick, we kind of all represent I want to say stereotype, do you know what I mean? Like kind of a...
Yeah, I guess
we
so,
kind
yeah.
of all different have angle. A different angle of that community, do you know what I mean? So, in a way, I think all of us want to get it right and we want to play them to the best of our ability because I think it is quite important, do you know what I mean?
You've got to do them justice, haven't you?
Well, yeah. It is an important show. Like it might not be on the surface.
Yeah, it brings up some serious matters. I don't know if you know the story at all, but they're travelling through Australia and they're meeting all sorts of different characters. And a lot of these are outback folk, which are very, we'll say traditional. So when three outrageous characters arrive in town, we're dealing with homophobia. One of us nearly gets killed at one point. So there is the serious moments, but then it's also outrageously funny. You know, it's hysterical. The
very tongue-in-cheek at times.
Yeah, definitely. And it's very coarse Australian humour. It's an Australian musical, so it is a hysterical script as well. Yeah.
And he's got a massive pink bus.
Oh, that is the star of the show.
Yeah.
Ty thinks it's him. Well, I think it's me. John thinks it's him. But no, the star of the show is Priscilla, the big pink bus.
Well, people keep asking me
who's Priscilla. Yeah. Priscilla's not a character. Well, she's a character, but she's a bus. So
yeah.
She hasn't got any lines.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. It's going to fill the Grand Theatre stage.
Well, it's something to look forward to. It's a brilliant stage to fill. It's going to be absolutely great down there. West Brom Chopper Attic doing their stuff 24th through to the 28th of April. 01902 429212, the box office number, grandtheatre.co.uk to get your hands on tickets. Come along and see this mad bunch in a brilliant show that you will enjoy. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. Break a leg, have a great time, and look forward to seeing you on stage.
Thank you.
From the 8th to the 12th of May, when Crazy Few is at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre, Claire Sweeney will be along and enjoying herself as part of the show. And you've been to the Grand before, you've had some great times down there.
I've just asked the question, I've just said, is that curry house still opposite the stage door?
The Dilshad is what you're looking for.
I remember going to that when I was about 12, 13, to that Indian, yeah.
This is when you started your career, isn't it? Because you've been doing, 20 years, is it now?
30 years.
30, really, officially?
30 years, yeah. Yeah, I'm 47 next birthday. Gosh, longer. So I was 14 when I started.
Mm-hmm.
Long time.
That just means that you know what to expect when you're out on the road and you have a great time going off doing all this. And Crazy For You must be a brilliant show to be part of.
It's a lovely show. It's very different. I've done so many musicals. And what's wonderful about this is the actor-musician thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got these fiercely, fiercely talented people on stage playing about four instruments each, singing, dancing, acting. They're really quite wonderful, the people in the show. And it's worth seeing the show, not just for the wonderful content of the George and Ira Gershwin, music. It's to see these guys on stage just being so fabulous.
Do you feel like maybe you ought to be playing piano or something during all of this?
I do feel a bit of a fraud.
You don't have any instruments in your repertoire at all?
No instruments whatsoever.
But you have your fantastic voice.
Well, yeah, I do feel a bit of a charlatan because they're so good.
And with all of this going on stage and the way it compares to some of the stuff you've done in the past, I mean, you've done everything from comedies at the Grand and some good fun with your Sex in Suburbia show. Yes. and all the other bits and pieces we've seen you do on TV and being a loose woman as well. You know, you get to do all sorts of crazy things. Which sort of area stands out most for you?
Probably musical theatre, really. I love musical theatre. And that's been my bread and butter for the last 10 years. I'm so passionate about it. On my night off from work, I'll go and watch a show. I really love it. You know, I'm finding it harder touring now. Now I've got a little one and you get a bit older and you want to be home. Yeah. But, you know, you just...
But you're commuting whenever you can for this, aren't you?
Well, I'm in Milton Keynes now doing this interview with you and I'm commuting. So you saw me walking in with all my bags and my case. And I was like, ooh. But I get to take my baby to nursery each morning. So it's worth it.
And how does he feel about all this? Does he know what you're doing? Does he come along and see the show? Chitty Bang Bang must have been what he wanted to go and see.
Yeah, he does. But he says to me, oh, Mummy, why have you got to work? Why have you got to go to work? And I'm like, oh, well, you know, if we want to do nice things, we've got to live. I'm the one who provides for you. I think he'd just love to hang out with me. He just wants to be with me.
There will come a time when he's on tour with you, though, won't there?
Well, he's coming. We're going up to Scotland next week. We're in Scotland for 2 weeks. And I'm taking him with me because I can't be away for 2 weeks from him. So, funny enough, you know, a week of that time in Scotland is Easter holidays for the kids. So he's only missing 1 week.
That's not too bad. And he gets lots of chocolate, too. So you're looking after him that way. And when you've got so many shows coming along, so you're already saying you're going to see musicals. Is this how you're looking through thinking, hang on, I fancy a go at that one next?
Oh, yeah, I'll always watch and think, is there a part for me? what would I like to do in that show? So, you know, you always watch it with one eye on the job, yeah.
But you can pretty much get away with it, because anything that comes up, the opportunity of having Claire Sweeney in it, they're going to jump at the chance.
Not necessarily.
Oh, you're fantastic.
Well, thank you. I'm glad you think that. I don't know what to say to that. Sorry.
Okay.
to answer that.
But it must be good fun doing doing what you do, and in particular in this show, the musical numbers that you're involved in here. Is there anything that's a standout for you that you know you're going to be continuing to hum for the rest of your life?
Yeah, I mean Charlotte Wakefield, who plays partly the leading lady in it, she sings "Someone to Watch Over Me," and she sings it so beautifully. Every night I sit and listen to it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, she sings it wonderfully. So I'm not in that, but it's one of my favourite moments in the show.
But I mean, you're completely effectively the opposite to her character in this as well. So you've got an interesting bit of conflict on stage.
I get to do. In this show, I feel like a bit part time in the show because I don't do a lot in it. But I do one great number in Act Two called "Naughty Baby," and I get carried around by the young hunky men and lay on a piano and kick my legs and do the splits. And so, you know, I kind of save myself for that number.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure that'll be absolutely brilliant fun when you're doing that. Get along, see it on stage at Wolverhampton's Grand Theatre. It is the 8th through to the 12th of May. 01902 429212, the box office number, grandtheatre.co.uk. Claire Sweeney, it's going to be great to have you in the city. And
I can't wait for a curry.
Can I join you at the Dill Shed one night?
The Dill Shed, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, defo.
Okay. We'll,
defo,
I'll show you some poppadoms.
Hey! Thank you.
That's all for this week. Thank you so much for joining us. Back with episode 459 next week. I'll see you then. Ta-ra for now.
Goodbye from the milk bar. 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 Yeah. Goodbye from the milk bar. Yeah.